reading is Daniel chapter 7. Read just a couple of verses as it happens. This is on page 893. Daniel chapter 7, reading just verse 13 and verse 14 there. In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Amen. We pray that the written word might become for us the living word of God. So just a few moments of reflection. These last few weeks been reflecting on what I've called the upside down blessings of Jesus. We've been working our way through the eight Beatitudes in Matthew's Gospel. And these Beatitudes, these blessings, are given by Jesus. People in the ancient world understood what a blessing was. Those they considered to be blessed were probably very much like those we consider blessed today. They had wealth, position, status, significance, health, and power. And there was a sense in which people would look up to those who were so-called blessed in the ancient world. They believed the gods must have blessed them because of their position, their wealth, their status, or whatever it was that they had. And people would aspire, much as people do today, they would aspire to be one of the blessed. But when Jesus gives what we know as the Beatitudes, he's turning the blessings upside down. And he's inviting us to see that the life and the character of the kingdom of God is not about wealth. It's not about having status and power in the eyes of the world. It's not about having significance that such that other people will look up to you and aspire. I want to be powerful and so on like this blessed person. But so many of the blessings are about being lowly and humble. And we've reflected, possibly each week, that as Jesus continues to speak in what we know as the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel 5, 6, and 7, he speaks about himself. He speaks about the kingdom of God, and he speaks about justice. And throughout are the values of the kingdom of God, the character of the kingdom of God. What is this kingdom like? He's seeking to answer the question, what really matters from the eyes and perspective of God? What really matters? What really is important? What really is of significance? And who, in God's eyes, has status? And that's what we've been reflecting on these last number of weeks, couple of months, I guess it must have been, as we have reflected on the Beatitudes. And today, we're going to reflect on this simple statement that Jesus makes. The kingdom of heaven is like. I think it's 10 times in Matthew's Gospel that Jesus makes this statement. The kingdom of heaven is like. You may know, of course, that in the other Gospels, the phrase is not used, the kingdom of heaven, but the phrase the kingdom of God is used. In Matthew's Gospel, Matthew reverts in a way, if it is reverting, to the phrase kingdom of God just 4 times. But primarily he uses this phrase, kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. And 10 times he makes reference to the kingdom of heaven is like. And I think through this, Jesus is trying to express the nature and character of this kingdom. Matthew's gospel, if you want a key theme for the whole of the gospel, it is the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And this explanation of what it's like. What is this kingdom like? Who fits into the kingdom? What is the character? What are the values and ethics of this kingdom? And so Jesus uses this phrase, the kingdom of heaven is like. But before we get there, there's another phrase that is used by Matthew. John the Baptist, when he began speaking to the people, John the Baptist is a forerunner of Jesus. He comes before Jesus, in a sense, to prepare the way for Jesus. And John the Baptist uses this phrase, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is near. And then he encourages the people, repent, turn your life around. And really, it's about turning your focus, whatever you're focused on, turn your gaze. There's something more important on the horizon that you need to fasten your attention to. And then we read in Matthew's gospel that when John is arrested and put in prison, Jesus takes up this same phrase. And we're told that Jesus goes around preaching, in a sense, the same announcement that John the Baptist had made. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is near. Repent. Turn your focus. Direct your gaze to something that is just on the horizon that is coming to you. Don't be distracted by all the things that you've filled your life with thus far. Fasten your attention instead upon what God is bringing close to us. The kingdom of heaven is near. So John the Baptist uses this phrase, the kingdom of heaven is near. And then Jesus himself takes up this phrase, the kingdom of heaven is near. And then when Jesus sends out his 12 disciples and tells them, go into the villages and towns nearby. And he says, when you get to these towns and villages, tell them, guess what he says to tell them? Any guesses? No, the answer is too obvious, you see. Tell them, the kingdom of heaven is near. Tell them, the kingdom of heaven is near. And these are the words that he says, as you go, proclaim this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. And then he says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons, freely you have received, freely give. So there's a message, a declaration, a proclamation that they make, the kingdom of heaven is near to you. But then Jesus is saying to them, don't just say the words. And it's so easy, isn't it, to think that the gospel, the good news about Jesus, well, I know what it is. And I can tell somebody, I can give words. The kingdom of heaven is here. But then, heal the sick. Raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. The kingdom of heaven is near. The encouragement is to bring healing wherever they went. And I guess whether that's physical healing or emotional healing or spiritual healing, because once we begin to listen to people, and really listen to people, you realize sometimes the healing that people need, it is physical. Sometimes, though, you realize it's emotional. Things have been said, things have been done, and they would describe themselves perhaps as scarred because of what they've been through emotionally. And some have been spiritually scarred as well. As you go, proclaim this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. Bring healing. Heal the sick. however you find them. Heal the sick. And my sense is that as we prepare, as Tim reminded us, in the next 5 or 6 weeks, as we prepare for our move to a new site up onto the Offenham Road, and we begin to engage more fully with the communities that we find ourselves in there, and the people who are interested in this curious thing, this new church that's been built, and they want to come and find out more. As we listen, we may think, well, what do we say? What do we do? Well, I guess we seek to listen that we might offer healing to them. Jesus says, heal the sick, and remember the next one? Raise the dead. There's a challenge. But again, I put it, it's about life. Do you know, the more I've reflected a lot on death, not that, you know, I think I'm about to die or anything like that, but I have. I've reflected a lot on the meaning of death and the recognition that for some of us, it may be that we're not so concerned about dying in the future, but for some of us, we live with death in the present. We allow, this, as it were, the spirit of death to drive out life from us. We allow, as it were, the spirit of deathliness to drive out hope from us. And we live, in a sense, a subnormal life. And we treat it as normal and natural. And I believe that's a lot of what our culture gives to us. Why are we so obsessed with consumerism? Why are we so obsessed with getting the next big thing? Because we want to dampen down our awareness that our lives are dead. And we want to bring some sense of joy, so we buy something. That's what consumerism is all about. Let's distract ourselves from this sense that death is among us. Now, we may not physically be able to physically raise the dead, although we may, in the name of Christ, be able to do that. But the calling is heal the sick and bring life. Maybe physical, but it may be emotional. It may be hope and a future. It may be shining light, because God is light into people's lives. So heal the sick, raise the dead, and then the third thing, cleanse those who have leprosy. And the important thing to be aware of here is that those who had leprosy in the day of Jesus, they were the ones who were excluded. It wasn't their fault that they had leprosy. They had leprosy. They were sick. And they were believed to be unclean. Cleanse them. Now, we know that Jesus cleansed lepers. He did extraordinary things among those who were supposedly unclean. But you may remember, after he's cleansed them, he says to them, go and show yourself to the priest. Because the point was, they were unclean. And they were excluded. They were outside. And so the word of Jesus is, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Cleanse those who are excluded. Include those who are otherwise excluded. And I guess there may be some who come particularly to our new church building. Inquisitive. Can I be included here? Is it okay for me to be part of this? Because I've been excluded. Because of this reason or that reason or the other, whatever it is. And the message is, the kingdom of heaven is near. Cleanse, include. But then freedom. Freedom. Drive out demons. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Within the Gospels, we have very dramatic accounts, don't we, of demons being driven out by Jesus. Jesus speaking very directly to demons within people to cleanse them, to heal them, to bring freedom from the power of the demonic. Many people today are demonized because they're oppressed, because they are suffering and stuck in a place of injustice, and they know no way out, but it's like a demon constantly with them. And we're asked, freely you've received, freely give. And this is the message in word and deed. The kingdom of heaven is near. Healing, life cleansing, and freedom. But I began by saying the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, here's a picture I think encapsulates this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. Do you recognize this kind of picture? Yeah? Has it ever happened on your drive? Yeah? No, but you've seen it. Maybe you've walked along the pavement that has not been laid too long, and then you've seen a plant has somehow come through. Maybe you've walked where there's been paving slabs. I mean, if you've ever had to lift some of these paving slabs, you know how heavy they are. But maybe you've had the experience of seeing or maybe even tripping over a paving slab that has been pushed up by such a small plant. And I want to suggest to you today that the kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like this. And I'm going to put that down in the corner there to remind us. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed a seed. And that seed grew into a mustard tree. And it grew large. Mustard trees grow to about 20 foot tall, and they're as wide as they are tall. And Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like that seed that grew into a full-grown mustard tree, and the birds of the air came and found a place to rest. And we might look at what we have to give. We might consider what we have to share. And we might think, well, it's only a seed. It's never going to make much of a difference. Nobody will notice this seed. But the call is to plant the seed, and it will grow and make a profound difference to many. The kingdom of God is about small beginnings and great endings. The kingdom of God is about influence. The kingdom of God is making a greater influence than you could imagine at the beginning. It's about transforming people's lives. And that's true whether we look at this particular image or we think of planting a seed in our garden that will grow and be a place of hospitality and space and welcome. Because the birds of the air come and make their rest in that tree that just began as a seed. The tree makes space for the birds to welcome them. The kingdom of heaven is resilient. It keeps going. And it keeps going. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed seed in a field. And then this man's enemy came and planted weeds all amongst the crop. And when the workers in the fields spotted that weeds were growing along the good plants that the owner had planted, they came to the owner and said, "What should we do?" And the owner said, "Just leave them, and they will grow together. And when we harvest, we will gather all of the weeds first, and then, and we'll burn them, and then we will harvest the crop." You see, even amongst, in a difficult context, in amongst all that we don't believe in and adhere to, and a culture that may be foreign to us, that grows alongside us, the kingdom of heaven proves to be resilient. The kingdom of heaven is like hidden treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like hidden treasure. In the passage that Eleanor read to us, do you remember? The kingdom of heaven is like treasure that is hidden in a field. And when a man found it, he hid it again, then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. I don't know how many of you have watched the TV series The Detectorists. Have you not watched The Detectorists? It's such a beautiful series about some friends. I would call them metal detectorists, but no, they are detectorists. And they take time to search for treasure. And they have a great time, and the relationships are beautiful in that series, and so on. But this man, as I was watching the series a while ago, now I reflected on this particular verse: the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. How did this man find the treasure? How does anybody find treasure? Have you ever pondered on that and thought, maybe when I'm walking across this field, I will find treasure and I'll be rich? The chances are, you have to work at it. And then Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And I reflect on the times when I've been to a market or a car boot sale or something like that, and so many things are spread out in front of me. Bits of this and bits of that, and goodness knows what's valuable and what's not. But that man clearly has trained himself. He knows where the precious things are or what they are. And he's able to dismiss some and pick up that which is of value. But it takes time. And it's not always obvious to everybody. And sometimes it takes a detectorist to say to us, this is valuable. Sometimes it takes a merchant who's trained himself to say this is important. And sometimes for us, it takes those who have spent time reading and studying the scriptures in prayer and reflection to say what is happening here is treasure. Don't despise the day of small things. The kingdom of heaven is like the hidden treasure. And then the kingdom of heaven is like the old and the new. The kingdom of heaven is like the old and the new. Therefore, Jesus says, every teacher of the law who's become who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. And I like that. Because in the kingdom, we don't throw away the old. Aren't you glad? We don't throw away the old in the kingdom, but we bring out the new as well. And whether we are referring there to new ways of doing things, or new songs, or new traditions, or new understandings. The teacher of the law who is schooled in discipleship says this is the kingdom. It's both the old and the new. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. May God stir our imaginations and help us as we work and we pray and we reflect together, that we might see and believe and trust that the seeds we plant may grow and reveal the character of the kingdom to all that we engage with. Let's pray together. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. The kingdom of heaven is like light. Light that shines in the darkness. Light that brings hope, justice, and peace. The kingdom of heaven is open to all. The kingdom of heaven is a home and a place of rest. The kingdom of heaven has breadth and depth. The kingdom of heaven has wonder and joy. The kingdom of heaven is for me and for you. The kingdom of heaven is there to be found by all who search. May we have courage and confidence to live within and to live out the kingdom of heaven. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.